to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Psychologist, Dr. Michelle, right here on America's most listened to talk radio station, LA Talk Radio. We got a great show today, as we always do. And I always welcome your questions and comments, as I do here. If you'd like to respond to what's going on in the show, or if you have any questions, or like I said, comments or anything, you can... As you are right now listening to me live on Channel 1, or you can download the show later, just go on to LA Talk Radio on your computer. And then what you do is you punch up Channel 1, you see Dr. Michelle there, and you can download any show you'd like, and also you can click on any of the links to contact me. If you have any questions or comments, like I said, you can find me at drmichelletherapy.com. Or you can contact me here at LA Talk Radio or my email address, which is docmichelle@AOL.com. All right, that's cool. Sound good to me. So today I've got a special guest. We're going to be talking about kind of an uncomfortable, you know, topic, but it happens to most of us. And Francine Russo has written a fabulous book. It's called "They're Your Parents Too: How Siblings Can Survive Their Parents' Aging Without Driving Each Other Crazy." Now, I know if you're a young adult listening to the show, you're going, ah, it's not going to happen to me. For a while, at least. But it's always nice to have more information about what's going on. You know, so you can prepare for maybe what might happen when your parents get ill in some way, physically or mentally, and then how you deal with it. You know, our parents are getting older, and they're getting more forgetful, and they're starting to slow down. You know, when we become a certain age, we kind of see that's kind of sad, you know. So suddenly, you and your brothers and sisters, your siblings, you find yourselves at the cusp of one of the most important transitions in your life, you see. And that's when you have to decide. Your parent or your parents, it's really tough when both your parents together are having a really rough time. You know, they kind of need you to step up and take care of them. And what happens a lot of times to make it all work, you and your siblings have to come together. You got to work together, you know, to work out some of the issues going on. And yet you and your siblings may have some different ideas. You know, what's best for your mom or dad? What's going on? What shall we do? Well, I thought we'd do it this way. I thought we'd put mom and dad in a home or whatever. No. I want to get a caregiver. No. What I'll do is I'll go over there and live with them part-time, and then I'll have someone I mean, it's really difficult when it hits because we don't usually plan for these things, you know? So what I like about this book is that Francine Russo, the author, really laid it out for a lot of people to help them, you know, understand what to expect. And you know, and again, it's not a big downer. It's a really wonderful book because there's a lot of therapeutic techniques in it. You know, the uneasy journey into the twilight. You know, how do we kind of start approaching? Well, sometimes, you know, we see our parents or we're in charge of our aunts or our uncles. Sometimes we're in charge of our grandparents. You know, at an early age, we've got to kind of take over and help our grandparents because maybe our parents aren't around. So here we are younger adults and were, oh my gosh, I got to make some serious decisions. So this book is great, I think, for a lot of people who really need to kind of step up to the plate and work with their brothers and sisters. And I, you know, there's a lot of literature out there on communication between family members, how to communicate with family members, you know, and step up to the plate and deal with these issues. So I think it's really important for you to go ahead and learn about communication. And you know what they always say, too, is it's always better to communicate with your family and try to work through a lot of issues before stuff starts happening, before the negative stuff starts happening. So, you know, my advice a lot of times for people is to work through a lot of their issues when they're younger people with their parents, you know, have more open communication and understanding and talk to each other and reason with each other. So, you know, there'll be no problem. So that's what this is about. And so my guest today, hopefully we'll get her on the phone in just a bit. It's Francine Russo, or she'll be calling in. And you can find out a little bit more about, you know, how you can survive your parents' issues and their aging or their sickness. And sometimes their parents get ill when they're younger, you know, and then we become the parent. We kind of have to care for them. So, you know, it's a little difficult sometimes. So what we can do is we can just kind of wait and see if Francine's going to call in just a little bit. And then, I have a bunch of questions for her. And by the way, if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to express about situations that happened to you in your life, you know, or situations you may be facing, you know, with parents or even relatives, like I said, aunts or uncles or brothers or sisters or whatever, where you kind of have to step up to the plate and care for someone else in your family and make the decisions. And these are things that you kind of didn't even necessarily plan on or think about. So if you have any questions or comments about things like that, how the experiences you've had, negative and positive, and maybe how you work them out, you know, with your siblings or whoever else in the family you're going to have to deal with to work out these problems, I'd love to hear from you. And you can email me on my website. You can find me there, Dr. Michelle Therapy, drmichelletherapy@AOL.com. You can find me there. Or you can, you know, of course, find me, if you'd like, right here on latalkradio.com, and then we can hook up and get it all together like that, okay? And again, my guest today is Francine Russo. She's the author of They're Your Parents, Too, How Siblings Can Survive Their Parents' Aging Without driving each other crazy. So, hey, Francine, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Michelle?
Very good. Very good. Nice to have you with me on the line and on the show. And, boy, I tell you what, your book is helping out a lot of folks. I've put it out there, and I've gotten very positive responses from people who really at this time in their lives need that help on dealing with parents.
I am hearing that, and it feels great.
Yeah, I bet it is. You know, and I was just kind of warming up the show, and, you know, we're all talking about, we don't think about, we don't dwell on, oh, gee, our parents, or if we have to take care of even our grandparents or our aunts and uncles or whoever in our life, you know, they get ill suddenly, or they're starting to really kind of slow down cognitively, and it's like all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, I didn't really plan for a lot of this stuff. So it's, you know, it's a nice guidebook to help people know what to expect and how to work through these problems. So
thank you.
No, you're welcome. So I'm curious, what inspired you to write this book personally? Does this happen to you?
Well, I think it happens to almost all of us one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I was not the sibling who did the care.
Uh-huh.
But what happens to all of us is that there's a major family passage.
Right.
That's completely new. That didn't exist a generation or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because never before have siblings had to get together, have a kind of extended family reunion for maybe a decade over their aging parents' needs. Well, I didn't know about any of this,
right.
And I was, you know, doing my thing in New York. I was widowed. I had a couple of kids. I was working. Mm. And I had a pretty full life.
Yeah.
I was the far away, uninvolved sibling. My sister lived 2 hours away, right near my parents.
Right.
And as my parents got older, my sister started helping my dad take care of my mom, especially during that last long year when my mom was in a nursing home.
Okay. Yeah.
Nobody asked me to help,
mm-hmm.
and I did not volunteer.
Okay.
And there were some pretty uncomfortable family dynamics, lots of anger and lots of guilt.
Oh, sure.
And the only thing that changed was my sister would say, "You never come," which is what my mom used to say when I showed up.
Interesting.
And so I did what I had done all my life. I deflected it.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard my sister's anger,
mm-hmm.
but I missed her rising desperation and her loneliness as she coped with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until my mom's funeral, mm-hmm. watching my sister and my dad sob and hold each other up, that I understood what a horrible ordeal they had been through without any kind of support from me. Mm-hmm. And I started asking, how did I get this so wrong? Because I'm not a terrible person, honest.
No.
And then as a reporter on the Boomer Beat at Time Magazine, I saw so many other siblings in trouble.
Yes.
And I thought, this isn't about my mistakes. Sure, I made mistakes.
Right.
But it's way bigger than that.
Right.
And I started looking at the whole big picture.
Right, right. The old family dynamics that are involved in, you know, also the communication, you know, issues, of course. Your sister probably didn't, you know, kind of communicate to you her needs and thought, or maybe possibly assumed that this was her role, or what she assumed things about you probably that weren't true because communication wasn't, you know, really clear about, you know, what was needed. So, and you, like you said, you're a really good person. You know, you could have been there and to help, and 2 hours isn't that far, but I mean, schlepping there every other day is a long trip, but I mean, you know, you had work and kids and, you know, you were going through issues as well.
That's right. But what my book, They're Your Parents Too,
mm-hmm.
conveys for the first time is that this is not taking care of parents or aging relatives isn't just a practical challenge. It's not about just doing a job. And if one person does it, the other's off the hook.
Right.
It's also a major psychological passage for the whole family and for each person in it, which brings up very old and deep feelings.
Gosh, yeah.
So, and which people have told me, so many people, Michelle, have said to me, I wasn't prepared for the feelings.
Right.
And that's what They're Your Parents Too helps people understand. You're going to feel things. You may not be conscious of them, but watching our parents decline and understanding that they haven't got much time left awakens those any old needs we had from them.
Mm-hmm.
To be loved a certain way, to be seen as good as my brother, or as smart as my sister, or just loved the way I need to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
Those all get stirred up.
Sure they do.
And sibling rivalry, big time, revived.
Oh yeah, I bet. It's really, you know, it's really amazing. And I tell you something personal. I'm really very lucky because I've always had a really openly communicative and good relationship with my sister. I have an older sister. And when we were going through my dad's, you know, illness, you know, trying to get his affairs in order, and my mother was starting to have some dementia, we actually came together on most of the points. You know, what's going
to
happen?
That's great to hear.
We lucked
out. you did. I mean, it's not just luck, but yes. This is a hard time, but there's also good news.
Mm-hmm.
And there are enormous opportunities for deep satisfaction and personal growth. Boy, personal growth.
Yes.
And in confronting this stage of life, and also in incredible closeness with your siblings, even sometimes when you didn't expect it.
Yes.
That is possible.
Yes, yes. And you know, possibly this is the time, too, like you said. You can work through a lot of those long unresolved issues and misunderstood issues, you know, while growing up. Dad liked you better, mom liked you better. You know, you can always kind of, I had, you know, sometimes we never talk about these things, or sometimes we never really have resolved them. But when we as older adults can sit down and come together and clarify, it's like, it's almost like we have no idea what the other siblings were thinking. You know, we many
well,
times
exactly.
don't understand that they
exactly.
were
exactly. And what mm-hmm. one of the things I did in their your parents too was I interviewed 50 siblings, sometimes yes. one in a family, sometimes five in the same family.
Wow.
And man, they're all thinking very different things.
Right. And shocked to find out what the other one is thinking. You know, I had no
exactly.
idea.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So
exactly, and yeah. and when people read the stories of these other families, they find them. I mean, one reader wrote to me and said, "Oh my God, I read the story, these stories in here, mm-hmm. and I suddenly had a clue what my four sisters might have been thinking that I didn't know
wow.
they were thinking." And
wow.
man, this could really help heal a lot of families.
Yes.
So that's what I hope.
Oh, I think it will. I think it's a wonderful book. It's really a good guidebook to help people start thinking about these things and why maybe they're feeling so strange and all these old feelings that we've shoved down for so long start coming up again because, you know, mom and dad aren't going to be around, or they're cognitively or physically, and oh my gosh, we have to resolve these issues, or we have to become those old people and kind of have some closure and get what we need. And it's just, it may sometimes it's too late, huh? Sometimes it just, they're not ready to deal with that because the older our parents have their own stressors and stuff they're dealing with.
Well, exactly. As you know, and I'm sure I've told you many things that you as a therapist know very well, the your parents too is about the whole process of emotional separation from our parents from the time we're infants
yes.
through middle age when we can finally start to see our parents as not just our parents but as people
right.
who, by the way, have their own struggles and needs.
Yeah.
And that's part of the personal growth that can occur mm-hmm. at this time as we come up against the conflict between our own needs and our parents' needs, between
yeah.
our own needs and our siblings' needs,
mm-hmm.
and it's very challenging.
Yeah, it sure is. It can be. So you give some great suggestions in here. Maybe you can tell our listeners, what are some of those really important suggestions that you give to help us cope with our parents' aging and just kind of adjust to these transactions?
Well, the first thing to do is to start talking with each other
yeah.
early and often, mm-hmm. although as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if your mom is, or your dad, and this usually happens when one parent is widowed, and that's usually your mom,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
these conversations can happen when both your parents are alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get everybody in the same room and say, you know, we hear a lot of stories about siblings who don't get along and don't know what their parents want and get into conflict. You know, mom and dad, you know, if you can't manage on your own, especially if one of you is widowed, you know, what would you like? Do you want to stay at home as long as possible?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, would you want to, you know, where would the money come from to hire an aide if we can't
yes.
all substitute and do that?
Yeah.
Or would you want to, like, move to the senior living, you know, down
right.
down the road where your friends are?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what about end-of-life stuff? All that stuff
yeah.
should be talked about.
Yeah, it should. And it's not fun and it's not comfortable, but it's real, and it's better to do it early than too late, because then all of a sudden you have to make these decisions that spontaneous decisions, and hopefully your siblings will be there on the same page with you so you don't have to argue about it. You know, well, we don't have enough money for a caregiver. Well, we don't have enough money for an assisted living. Well, you know, well, I'm not going to have her live with me. You know, that the last minute kind of panicky decisions just, you know, that will ruin a family sometimes, so.
Well, it can. And also, there's families have to find a new way to to work.
Yes.
Because, as you well know, when we're growing up, our family, each family has a different way of working, with each person playing a certain emotional role, mm-hmm. whether we realize what it is or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to take a very simple example, let's say your dad made the important decisions in your family. In another
sure.
family, it might be your mom.
Sure.
But let's say your dad made the important decisions and your mom soothed the ruffled feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the older sister, well, you kind of looked after the little ones and maybe did, you know, took on a lot of responsibility.
Right.
And if you're one of the younger ones, well, maybe you look to other people to, you know, lead and saw your job as
mm-hmm.
making everybody laugh. Okay.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So the family works. There's a kind of way it's
right.
stable.
Everybody has their own role, you know.
Right. Yeah. And these roles are so deep that,
yeah.
you know, we automatically fall into them when we're together.
Mm-hmm.
You know those movies
yes.
that come out every Christmas?
Yes.
Home for the Holidays.
Right, right,
and
right.
We all go back to acting like when we were 10.
Right. It's true. Everybody's sitting around the table, and it's like, oh, my gosh. It's just like the old initial family, you know.
Exactly.
And
exactly,
the children, but the grandchildren are sitting there going, this is weird.
you know? Exactly. Only now, you know, for the first time in history, you and your siblings have to get together.
Yeah.
Oh, for a period of maybe 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and deal with each other over really important stuff.
Yeah.
And whatever the system was that made your family work, well, it probably isn't going to work anymore because
right.
your dad can't make the important decisions because he died.
Yeah.
And your mom might not be able to soothe the quarrels because
mm-hmm.
she's too frail.
Right.
Or she has dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're the older sister, the chances are you'll take on everything, get
mm-hmm.
burned out, be resentful.
Right.
And if you're the younger one, you'll either be clueless and look to other people to do it all, or you could get angry at your older sister and say, hey, you know, who put you in charge?
Right.
And we're all adults now.
Right.
And that is the big challenge, to
yes.
realize that everybody is an adult now. And let's face it, we're not going to make a revolution here. Nobody's going to become a different person.
Right.
But there are ways we can adapt.
That's true. As you said, we are all adults now. And, you know, we've all sort of, well, not all of us, but some of us have had our own families, and we've all, you know, gotten through other rough periods of life. So now we have to actually come together on this one and, you know, try to work it out. I love some of the chapters you have in here when you're describing the common problems in your book. By the way, folks, if you just tuned in, I'm talking with Francine Russo. She's the author of the book, They're Your Parents Too, How Siblings Can Survive Their Parents Aging Without Driving Each Other Crazy. It's a great book for you. Even if you're not going through this issue with your parents or whoever you may be having to caregive, or you're a young adult and you're having to all of a sudden have to deal with these issues, it's a wonderful book to pick up because it's great to know, you know, have knowledge beforehand, if, you know, when things start to dissipate with your parents or whoever you may be giving care to in your family. So anyway, I was sorry, it took me a while to get around to that, but I love some of the chapters you have in here about the common problems that you see between siblings. You have the part where dad loves you more, you know.
Right.
And could you get into some of those problems about we are not your Norman Rockwell family, you know?
Well, that one is actually one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
The subtitle is Holding the Ideal Up to Reality.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have, you know, we have yearnings for who we wish our family had been.
Yeah.
And we wish that, you know, our mom had been the most loving person and, you know, our dad the strong, you know, supportive kind and sibling, my blood and my sister. Well, nobody had a perfect family.
Right.
But what happens at this point in life when we see our parents fading?
Right.
especially I think for the caregivers, mm-hmm. you have a yearning to have a close relationship with your sister or brothers.
Yeah.
Even if you never had one before.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm going to give you like two examples of what works and what doesn't.
Cool.
So there's this woman, Lori, and I tell her story, Lori and Jimmy. Mm-hmm. She moved back to her hometown to take care of her dad, and she really yearned for her brother to be a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept making suggestions, come do this, come do that. And she wanted them to all be a big, happy family.
Right.
But her brother had an uncomfortable relationship with his dad, with her dad, and wasn't willing to, like, do everything. And they got into this horrible tussle until finally she realized, you know, and she said, I yearned for the ideal sibling, but he wasn't the one.
Right.
And the conflict became very, very intense until she stepped back and tried to deal with the reality.
Right.
You know that Robin Williams routine, reality, what a concept.
Right.
Well, here's an opposite example. Woman who looked her family in the face and saw what it was. She said, my mom was a piece of work. My mom is a piece of work.
Right.
My brother cannot stand her.
Right.
And so when she was needing care, I called my brother and I said, listen, mom needs help. I will do everything, but I can't pay for everything. Will you send me a check every month?
Cool.
He said, yes.
Yay.
And then, yes. And then after like a few months, and especially after the first year, mm-hmm. he started calling her and saying, how are you? And is there anything I can do? And they got really close.
That's great.
What she did, Michelle, it was a positive example of, it was what she didn't do.
Right.
Because what so many siblings do is they get, you know, for caregivers, it's really hard to ask for help.
Yeah.
And say what we need.
Sure it is. It is.
Hard for all of us, all the time.
And sometimes it's easier for caregivers who just are so used to in that role, that sibling, whatever, the older one, or whoever decides to have that role, of just taking care of business. I'm not even going to take the time to ask. I'm efficient. I'm so used to doing things. I'm going to just take care of business, you know, and they don't think to ask sometimes.
Well, you know, and yes, and even two things happen as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
You, if you're the one doing it, even though you don't want to ask, and I talked to so many siblings who went through this, you still get resentful.
Sure.
Even though you haven't asked,
right.
You resent the fact that nobody's helping.
Right.
And you start thinking there's this common fallacy.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have to ask.
Right.
So, like, your sibling should read your mind, know what you want.
Be psychic in some way. Right.
Right. Or you think, if she were a good sister and a good daughter, she would know what to do and automatically step up and do it.
Right.
And I have seen this bring so many families to grief.
Right.
So many families. So what happens typically is siblings get into what I call the anger guilt gridlock,
mm-hmm.
where the caregiver doesn't ask right away or doesn't ever ask and waits until she's resentful, then inflicts guilt. And you know what?
Yes.
The most surprising thing to us,
mm-hmm.
we think, I'll make my sister feel guilty. She'll do what I want.
Right.
Guess what?
They go the opposite way.
Well, yeah. Guilt is uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Guilt is something people defend against.
Sure.
So your sibling will either withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I don't want to be around that,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of what I did in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And or your sibling will defend against guilt by saying, hey, you don't do very much.
Right.
You're just exaggerating.
Right.
Or a whole number of other things which just make you angrier. And the angrier and the more guilt you put on them, the more they push you away.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, that can happen. Yeah, exactly. Well, by the way,
so
folks,
that doesn't work.
You're right. It just doesn't. And by the way, if you guys just tuned in on LA Talk Radio, this is Dr. Michelle. You're on the couch with me, and my special guest today is Francine Russo. We're talking about her latest book. It's They're Your Parents Too, How Siblings Can Survive Their Parents Aging Without Driving Each Other Crazy, which is so important and should have been written and is finally here to help everybody out to deal with this, you know, issue that is really not been dealt with in psychologically oriented books before. You know, and this is, it's a wonderful, interesting read too. So it does help you out a lot. Yeah, we were just talking, Francine, you know, about the misunderstandings between the siblings who, you know, the brother, sister, whoever has that, you know, take charge role. And then the other one is kind of in the background sort of watching all this go down, and there's not communication. And it makes it even worse when the parent has dementia really badly, and the caregiver is trying to express the frustrations of, you know, when dementia happens. And I don't know, you know, how many listeners have experienced, you know, that with their parents or whoever they may be caregiving, aunts and uncles or grandparents, but it is, it makes things so much worse because it's such a confusing disorder to deal with, because your parents are not the people you knew anymore, pretty much. So they're different.
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry. Go on, Michelle.
No. I was just saying that, you know, there are added difficulties in dealing with parents who have dementia with the siblings as well that you write about in your book. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Dementia is especially challenging with any kind of dementia, not just Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah.
Because with dementia, there's an ambiguity. Our parents, my mom is here, she's not here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your mom is here on some days, some hours,
yep.
You know, last week, next week. You just never know when you'll be recognized,
right.
And when you won't.
Right.
And
right.
We have, you know, we as a culture have a really hard time with ambiguity. We like to know it's black, it's white.
Yeah.
Mom's here, she's gone.
Right.
You know, and if she's gone, I want to, like, start grieving for her. I'm grieving her already, and I she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is that you, as the caregiver, may say, hey, you know, Mom hasn't said my name for a long time, but when I walk in the room, mm-hmm. I see that light in her eyes, and I know she's there.
Right.
And my brother, well, he says, Mom's gone, and isn't that convenient for him, so he won't come visit.
I see.
Well,
yeah.
Well, the fact is, there's a wonderful book written by family therapist Pauline Boss called Ambiguous Loss,
yeah.
And she says that when there's ambiguity like this, it's normal for a sister and a brother to have different feelings,
mm-hmm.
and that both feelings need to be respected, and then maybe this sister and brother can work together. Maybe mm-hmm. the brother who can't be near Mom because it's too painful could help with other things.
Mm-hmm. And these are some of the ideas you get, you know, across in your book, which I really like too, about upon the passing of aging or ill parents. You know, you go into making the decisions, of course, but acceptance, forgiveness, and loss. And what are some of those suggestions that you give to people in that book that can help them?
Well, first of all, be prepared when our parents are reaching end-of-life and end-of-life decisions that we're going to have some of our biggest challenges as human beings to separate our own needs from those of our parents. Everyone in the family is going to have that challenge, and it is not easy.
Right.
So many people have said to me, you know, my sisters and I got along great, but when it came to that end of life thing, we were all on a different page.
Yep.
And so, you know, two things. One, have a lot of compassion for each other and try to focus on the fact that your mom or dad has needs that may be different from yours, and they may have expressed them, we hope, by this time.
Yes.
You know, either in writing or by speaking and saying what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to say, okay, this isn't about me. It's true. I'm losing my mom and it's one of the hardest things in life. Mm-hmm. But my mom is dying, and this is about mom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the really hard thing.
Right, right.
And it'll be different for each person in the family.
Sure.
If the family's really not on the same page about this, it's time to call in a professional if you haven't done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody like you, Michelle, a therapist,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or a geriatric care manager, or hospice clergy, and I interviewed many of them,
yeah.
could also help at this juncture. But very often you need an outside party.
Yes.
To help you work through it.
Sure. Sort out the feelings, because you can't kind of get past or beyond your own and your own grief and your own needs and your own, and then at the same time know it's about mom and dad. I mean, they're the ones that are really
right.
dealing with their mortality, you know. So.
And at the same time, it's important for each of you to take the opportunity that remains to make peace,
mm-hmm.
if not with your mom or dad, mm-hmm. but with who they are.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
their imperfections
yeah.
as well as their strengths.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I try to do, you know, in therapy with people, even when they're younger, you know, like younger adults or adults and stuff, is to are we clear about the fact that you know who your mom and dad are as people and what their stuff is possibly and why they, you know, parented you the way they did based on their parenting or based on their philosophies or life's experiences. And can you just allow them to be who they are, you know, and forgive them and have you work through that they are people, you know, so that in the next, in the future transitions that you're going to have to deal with in life, you're worked out with that part. You know who they are and sort of try to have forgiven them if they have been abusive in some way or were clueless about how to raise you as a child. Just have you worked that part out? So when the critical times come, you're not, along with grief, you know, completely unscrambled because you're messed up about all these unresolved feelings. So you're so
yeah,
right.
good thing to do, Michelle. But even people who've worked it out
yeah.
to a certain degree can
yeah.
get really challenged at this particular time.
Yeah, yeah. It, you know, you're right. It sure is true. And I love the way you explain it, too, in your book. And you know what else is cool? I love, you talk about reinventing the family for our own generation, okay? And if could you explain to our listeners what that's about? Because that's a really positive chapter in this, in your book.
Yeah, there is lots of good news, as I said before, and they're your parents, too. I try to promote sibling connection,
yeah.
not just during this difficult period, but after our parents are gone. Because, let's face it, our sisters or brothers, whatever kind of relationship we have with them, they're what remains of the family we grew up in.
Yes.
And that's valuable.
Yeah.
And so it's important to help each other through the grief, which, and I have a whole chapter on different mourning styles, so that very often siblings can't support each other through their grief because they don't mourn in the same way. And somebody, you know, like one day, Mother's Day will be really hard for one, and, you know, the birthday, mom's birthday, really hard for another.
Yes.
And somebody will want to talk about it, particularly a sister,
mm-hmm.
and somebody will want to deal with it a different way, particularly
mm-hmm.
a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding, but you can support each other through your grief by respecting, as with dementia, respecting that you each have different coping styles.
Right.
And then I also suggest that people find new ways of doing the family holidays,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe you can't get together, but maybe you can always be sure to call each other on
yes.
Thanksgiving or
yes.
Christmas. Or I know one family where three sisters who lived in different parts of the country would always meet in a city near them for a few days on their mom's birthday.
Oh, that's neat.
And that they made that a new tradition.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great idea. That really is. Well, you have some wonderful, you know, examples to help people out in this book, and it's getting close to our, you know, showtime. We're going to have to end. We just barely scratched the surface here of your book. And once again, people, if you've been listening, my guest is Francine Russo. She's the author of this book, which has been most helpful to many, and myself included, and I will recommend it to clients who are going through this. It's called They're Your Parents Too, How Siblings Can Survive Their Parents' Aging Without Driving Each Other Crazy. It covers the gamut of everything, how you can get through this, how you can work through all the problems and survive, you know, come out the other
end
on the good side. Francine, how can people get a hold of your book and in touch with you if they'd like more information?
Absolutely. I have a website, www.yourparents2.com.
Great.
And it you can order my book online through Amazon, through Barnes & Noble, in your bookstore, any way you want.
Super.
It's really out there. And I also have many, many pages of information, and I answer reader questions, and people can write to me there. And also, if people want to invite me to speak at a corporate event or an organizational event, I'm starting, this is such a hot topic, and I've been invited to do a lot of keynote speeches, which I love doing.
Yeah,
so people can contact me there as well.
Great. Oh, okay. Francine, thank you so much. You've been a terrific guest. Sorry for the little mechanical issues trying to get in here earlier, but we did it. We got through.
We did it.
All right. Thanks for being a great guest, Francine. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for your great questions, Michelle.
Okay. Take good care now. Much success.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that was it's a really good read, folks. I'm telling you, if you need some more information about, you know, how to deal with, you know, the future even. I know you may be a young adult listening and you're going, I don't need to know this. This is not really applicable to my life right now. There's therapy in it too. Helps you work out some of your stuff with your parents. I mean, does that ever hurt? I think it's really a great idea. All right. This is Dr. Michelle. I thank you for being on the couch with me this hour. It's been a blast, as usual. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, just go ahead, punch up Channel 1. You'll find me here on the couch or at my website, drmichelletherapy.com. You can also contact me via email. Just click on the link there. All right, as I always do say, take good care of yourself first so you can be great for everybody else, you see. Have a great day, and you can stay on the couch if you like. Here on LA Talk Radio, this is Dr. Michelle. Bye-bye.